Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people.
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
All right, guys, greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. I'm experiencing something for the first time that I have not experienced in quite some time. I'm actually on vacation. I've talked to you guys quite a bit about the new job that I have. It might not be my passion, but I'm really starting to like it. It's actually kind of starting to become a passion. Like, because I'm able to help people get hired. I'm doing recruiting for a very large national company. And if I don't use my vacation days, I'm going to lose them if I don't start using them by the end of the year. So I thought that this would be the best time in the world for me to do it because, number one, my birthday falls on Thanksgiving this year. Every 4 to 5 years, my birthday falls on Thanksgiving, and this is the year that it happens to fall on. One of my other traditions on Thanksgiving is that I would say since 2014, I have gone over to my friend Lennon Murphy. She used to be a nationally touring musician that I booked on the Monsters years back. And I happened to become really, really good friends with her. And I always go over to her house, her family's house, to spend Thanksgiving. And that's always been really, really cool because I'll spend Thanksgiving with my mom and dad. When my dad was still alive, I would spend Thanksgiving Day with them, my immediate family, and then I would also go over to her house and spend Thanksgiving there. Not doing this year because she's not going to be doing it. So I'm kind of bummed out about that. So I decided to take the week off. And I'm kind of glad that I did because today was the first full day of World Cup soccer. And I know a lot of my American listeners or even, see that's the thing about it is that I gotta live between two worlds. Because I do have a humongous United Kingdom following, Wales, England, Scotland, Ireland. I do have a great following there. But when I say soccer, the only reason I say soccer is because I want my American listeners or supporters of the show to be able to understand what I'm talking about. Because if I say football, they're going to be like, hell yeah, NFL football. No, talking about soccer. Every 4 years, I am a sucker for anything that happens every 4 years, like the Olympics or World Cup soccer, whatever it may be. Hell, you know what? I will watch the hell out of Women's World Cup. I will. The first game was actually yesterday. That was between Qatar and Ecuador. And Ecuador absolutely destroyed Qatar. So that happened. And then England beat the absolute piss out of Iran. Iran is not really that big of a soccer country, but England won. Then the United States was playing Wales. Wales, who hasn't even been to the tournament since the 50s, they go out there. United States is winning 1-0. They're controlling possession. They're controlling everything. And then they got a dumbass penalty. And I had messaged out, and I had put a post talking about, oh, man, it sucks. And then all the European people that I know, Richard, I'm not going to say the last name, but they all want to talk about how the United States is just trash. Well, I will say this. Oh, man, my hair looks like crap. Oh, man, I really messed it up now, didn't I? Hold on. Let me get that going. You know what? I'm just going to wear it like this. All of you other countries that want to talk shit about the United States when it comes to soccer or football, all of you other countries should be happy that we have so many other professional sports in our country. Because let's be honest, we got basketball, football, baseball, hockey over here. Do you realize that if our best athletes were actually interested in soccer and they started out playing it at the beginning of their lives, that nobody would ever stand a chance against America, the United States. And some of the other England fans were talking about, oh, well, you let it get away against Wales. We're going to absolutely destroy you because of your ranking and everything. You want to know what I replied to them? Hey, you want to know what the last time that England underestimated the United States and they were worried about rankings and stuff? Guess what? The United States was not ranked very highly when a bunch of farmers with pitchforks and single-shot rifles beat your ass in the Revolutionary War. Like, you guys had one of the greatest militaries that the world had ever seen, and you guys let a bunch of farmers beat you. Because the next game for the United States is against England. When you guys played us in the 2010 World Cup in South Africa, guess what? You tied us 1-1. You didn't beat us. So what I'm trying to say is, you know what? Underestimate us. Underestimate us. And guess what? We are going to absolutely shock the world. Because I really, really do think that the United States is going to shock the world. We have the second youngest team in the World Cup right now. Yeah, did we look like crap in the second half? Yeah, we did. We gave up a stupid penalty and everything. But I'm telling you right now, our youth is going to come out and shine. I promise you. And I promise you that the United States is going to beat England on Friday in the World Cup. I know that I'm going out on a limb here by saying that, but yes, the United States will shock the world against England. Just like the Revolutionary War, we are the Revolution War, Revolutionary War, we're going to shock the hell out of England, just like we did to gain our independence back in 1776. It's going to happen. Mark my words. Coming up at 7:30, and I wish I knew who I was going to be talking to, but I got some people on from the Bang 2-3 podcast. I've gone through their whole bio, and it does not say anybody's name. But I'm excited for that interview. But I did want to get into a couple of these stories. All right, so these are the stories that I have. I know that I did a show on Friday. Why is my producer Vulture telling me that I'm crazy? That I don't get that. My Vulture says you're out of your mind. That and the Jags will win on Sunday. Okay, well, I mean, I'm telling you right now that I think that. All right, so his name is Chris. Thank you. Thank you. Because it does not say his name in the bio. So, for the people in the chat room, when the last show that I did, did I talk about the no-leg basketball player? I think I might have, but also at the same time, you guys got to realize that I've gone through some mental stuff that I might not remember what I talked about. Did I talk about the no-leg basketball player? I feel like I did. I know that I didn't talk about the Idaho murderers. That's a news story that I pulled today. And the gay nightclub shooting. I got plenty of stories. So, you know what? I'm gonna go with the nightclub shooting. So I did Miss LMT. I did play the no legs basketball player. Okay, so then I will not play that one. But I did want to talk about the shooting that happened over in Colorado, and this is extremely extremely tragic. Because I was working on the Bubble Up Sponge Show. Matter of fact, I was still living at Klim Racing Incorporated at the time. I remember that my mom called me whenever the Pulse nightclub shooting happened. And that was in the 30s or 40s when it come to the death toll. And luckily, somebody had the balls or just felt like being a hero because somebody subdued this person that decided to come into this LBGQT nightclub and started shooting it up.
Fuck you. Active shooter, all units respond.
In just seconds, a celebration quickly turned to chaos as shots rang out inside this Colorado Springs nightclub. On Saturday, just before midnight, police say 22-year-old Anderson Lee Aldrich entered the packed LGBTQ hotspot Club Q, carrying a long rifle.
All right, so am I the only one when I hear about these mass shootings at gay nightclubs like Pulse or like Club Q that happened in Colorado, that I always automatically go to what was the gunman's motivation? Okay, a lot of people would say, oh, because he hates gays. I really, really don't jump to that conclusion. Does it make me weird that I automatically jump to the conclusion that, the shooter that goes in there is closeted. The shooter is gay. And he got exposed. And I know exposed seems like a bad choice of words, because exposed seems like being gay is a bad thing. And it's not. It really, really is not. But every time I see one of these mass shootings at one of these LGBTQ clubs, I'm always like, this is a guy that was closeted. He got exposed. He hated himself for being gay, even though he shouldn't have, because most likely that was beaten into his head that it was bad to be gay and everything. And that is why I think a lot of this stuff happens. But luckily, somebody was brave enough to stop this person.
We believe that the gunman, as soon as he walked in, had the weapon readily available and began opening fire immediately,
shooting dozens of rounds into this crowd.
Correct.
Jericho Lovell was shot in the leg.
It was rapid fire, and it was definitely a rifle.
Police also found a handgun at the scene and say the shooter had other types of equipment and was carrying additional rounds. The shooter's rampage ended by an incredible act of bravery. The Colorado Springs mayor says that as the gunman fired into the crowd, two people ran toward the danger, hitting him with his own.
Those are some pretty rugged gay men or security. I shouldn't assume. I don't want to get canceled or anything, but I mean, those are some pretty brave ass people that jumped in there and stopped this guy. Seriously.
Own gun before tackling him to the ground. On Club Q's Facebook page, the owner's thanking the quick reactions of heroic customers that subdued the gunman and ended his hate attack.
I don't know who stopped him, but I'm grateful because they most certainly saved my life.
Investigators are treating this as a potential hate crime. The nightclub is popular with the LGBTQ community.
It was very traumatic.
Joshua Thurman was inside celebrating his birthday with friends when he first heard gunshots. He and a few others barricaded themselves inside a back room.
When you crawled out of that dressing room, Joshua, what did you see?
I saw bodies on the floor.
Oh, man. Goddamn.
Blood.
Now, as investigators comb through security camera videos and interviews with witnesses, the community, struggling to grasp how their safe space turned into a tragic...
Well, I mean, honestly... Let's be honest that now, we see what happens on the news every single day. This could absolutely happen anywhere at all. For people to go out in public in a grocery store, a movie theater, or any other place. If you see, that's the thing about it, is that we live in this world where we have this false sense of security that people just go about their days thinking that, oh no, this is never going to happen to me at all. I mean, should you not have to live that way? Yes. You should be able to live in a country where you can go shopping, you can go to a club, you can go to the movie theater, you can go to a restaurant and not have to worry about ending up dead from a shooting. And I don't have any answers of what can be done. But also at the same time, you can make all the laws that you want to make that you could ever think of, and this is still not going to stop it. It's just not going to stop it. You're not going to be able to get any of the guns out of people's hands. They're already out there. It's just not going to happen, people. And then I also think that the only way that we can put a dent in this is that we start concentrating on mental health. Because you're not gonna be able to get rid of people's guns. It's not gonna happen. But I just think that this thing could have been way worse.
Crime scene.
These weren't just people in a club. These
my friends. Now our safe space is gone.
Now, this investigation is just beginning. It involves Colorado police, the ATF, FBI, those federal investigators remaining on scene here today. One of the key questions here, Savannah, is why the gunman chose this club. The owners tell us that they did not recognize him, nor had anyone seen him prior to that fateful night.
So that is a tragedy. Man, my hair is all a sweaty mess. There is also another story that is really, really bugging me. Am I the only one that absolutely loves Dateline NBC? You know, I'm talking about the show on NBC where they try to solve murders, or they're pitting how a murder was done. And they want you to be able to figure it out and stuff until the very end. This Idaho murder, quadruple murder that went on, I really have a lot of questions that I want to ask, because what really, really bothers me is that why isn't the news asking the questions that I'm about to ask while I'm playing this news story? I just don't get it. Is it because the media, the national media, or because the story I'm about to play from you is from NBC News? And I don't understand why the reporter is not asking some of these questions. But there was a quadruple murder up in Idaho where a bunch of college kids, four college kids, were killed. They were stabbed to death. And I'll get into why it's important that they were stabbed to death, because there's a lot of things that are not making sense about this whole entire murder case.
As a quadruple homicide investigation now enters its second week, police say it's possible some of the victims were asleep during the attack.
Some of the victims had defensive wounds, and each victim was stabbed multiple times.
Authorities also revealing the 911 call that alerted them to the slayings was made from the cell phone of one of the surviving roommates, who police say are not suspects.
Why are they not suspects? Hear me out on this, okay, people? All four of the people that were murdered were stabbed to death. You cannot tell me that out of four people getting stabbed to death, they didn't make as much noise as they did, because as from everything that I read, that the two survivors did not call until, like, later after everybody was dead. And I don't care how great you are with a knife. How did you kill four people without the other people, like, knowing about it? That is the big thing that I'm asking questions about.
Investigators saying the roommates had called friends over because they thought one of the victims had passed out, and multiple people talked with police dispatchers.
Oh, wait, I thought they passed out. I didn't know that they were stabbed to death. I'm sorry. Like, why is the national news, like NBC, where I got this report from, not asking some of those questions?
Police publicly ruling out several people who came into contact with two of the victims the night they were killed, including a man seen near them outside a food truck and a rideshare driver who took them home.
And also, at the same time, how fucked up would it be if you were just at a random food truck and some of the girls had just got brutally murdered in their room and stuff, and you just were talking to them because they were attractive women and you wanted to talk to them and it was caught on camera, like they're showing you, and now you're a suspect. You are a goddamn suspect in a murder case. And let's be honest, like how social media is and the news, you never hear about the retractions where they're like, oh yeah, this person is innocent, and then come to find out they were innocent. Nobody reads those retractions at all. So now you're a person of interest that was talking to two people that were murdered at night with knives, but their other two roommates didn't hear a goddamn thing at all, and now you're a suspect.
Police are asking for the public's help, issuing a 1-square-mile dragnet, asking for any video from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. They are trying to establish how the killer made it into this house and out of the house.
Oh, it's definitely somebody they knew, right? I mean, that's only, well, I mean, Ted Bundy did go on his rage and rampage up in Tallahassee. So, I mean, who really knows?
Kaylee Gonzalez's family also said 7 phone calls were made to her ex-boyfriend from 2:26 to 2:52, but the family says those calls were not out of the norm.
This person was asleep, unfortunately, was not getting the calls. Kaylee was in imminent danger, her or Maddie, they would have called 911. They would not have been calling this person.
Investigators are aware that multiple phone calls from Madison and Kaylee's phone were made to a male subject.
Police still think the attack was targeted.
Well, of course it was targeted. I mean, to go on and kill 4 people in the same place, in different rooms? Yeah, hell yes, it was targeted.
Kaylee's family says they're afraid for others.
We fear that this person will do this again.
Kaylee's mother appealing to her daughter's killer.
The guilt has got to be just overwhelming.
No, it's not.
It's got to be sickening. Stop hiding. Stop running. Just turn yourself in.
And this, I mean, I get why the loved ones of the people that were killed and stuff would plead and beg to the murderer and say, oh yeah, turn yourself. No. Psychopaths have no morals. They don't have empathy. You can beg and plead and try to get as sympathetic as you can. It does no good. If this was a serial killer like a Ted Bundy or whatever, they're laughing. Matter of fact, they're probably masturbating to your begging and pleading for people to turn themselves in. I'm just saying.
This morning, family members are preparing for the first of the funerals. Ethan Chapin will be laid to rest a little bit later today in Washington.
All right. Well, I mean, I pulled some stories to be able to talk about them. Let's see if my guest shows up tonight. I would absolutely hope that they would. But if you're listening to the show right now, I usually get into this. If you guys would like to engage into the show, or if you'd like to call in and comment on anything that I'm talking about right now, you can easily do that. and give me a call, 407-270-3044. Once again, that is 407-270-3044. Let me read some of these comments. Miss LMT, well, if they don't have a gun, then they will find another weapon. It's not a gun issue. It's a mental health issue, in my opinion. I think that was about the last story. Miss LMT also writes, weird story, right? This Idaho murderer is really, really weird. Miss LMT also says, I don't think this murderer has a conscience. If you can, yeah, I mean, that's the God honest truth. Yeah, I mean, it is. Straight up, it is. I am having to get ready because this is the other thing. I know a lot of people, you know, they might not be that happy about having family members over during the holidays. I've never been one of those people that is going to go over the top cleaning, making sure like everything has a white glove treatment where I'm dusting everything. But man, oh man, my mom is. We have family members that are coming in second week of December, and I got a lot of work to do around here, and I've been doing a really, really good job at doing a lot of the home improvement stuff. You know, you guys look at me, and you see an image of a nerd. Oh, got my guest coming in. Hey, what's up, Chris?
Hey, Toto, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you, buddy?
Doing great, dude. So nice to meet you.
Hey, where are you calling from? Where are you joining me from?
Well, actually,
I mean, you got a great microphone. I have had a lot of guests on. Your audio sounds really, really great. So I really appreciate that.
Well, there's actually a reason, because I'm actually on Mars. I was part of the first group. It was a top secret government program.
You and Elon? And,
well, not Elon, but one of Elon's clones.
Yeah. So Chris, how are you doing tonight? It's Monday. Yes, Monday before Thanksgiving and everything. Where are you joining me from?
South Louisiana.
South Louisiana.
Yes,
well,
sir.
What? I mean, I'm a big SEC football fan, so I know a lot about all that stuff. What city are you in, Louisiana?
Lafayette, Louisiana.
Okay.
Cajun Country, UL is our local college, but we're all LSU fans here.
I was on a radio show back 2003, 2004. We were syndicated into Lake Charles, Louisiana.
That is a great place. I go there all the time. I have family over there. I say it's a great place. It's actually very smelly. Mm. It's very stinky.
Paper mills?
Lots of
paper mills?
Paper mills. Man, you're so smart.
Because
yes,
we have
mills.
That here in Florida. The paper mills stink. In Palatka, Florida, we have the paper mill. So, Chris, before we get into the interview and stuff, tell my audience a little bit about yourself, how they can find your podcast, your show, any of the content that you're putting out.
Yeah, dude. So I am Chris. I am the host of the Bang 2-3 podcast. Where can you find that? Just Google it. Bang 2-3 podcast. It's such a weird name for a podcast that I'm pretty sure I'm at the top.
Go Where's find the name Instagram. Come from? Bang 2-3.
Bang 2-3. So in all reality, I named it Bang 2-3 because I did not want to name it after my actual name. I don't want my actual first and last name to be tied to the podcast.
You got a shady past? Are you in witness protection?
Yes.
Are you trying to hide something? Why don't you want that?
I just enjoy hookers and cocaine, and there's nothing wrong with that, but some jobs won't hire me because of that. No, in all honesty, it's just because I want to be free to say what I want. I want to say crazy stuff, and I work in tech, And before you get a tech job, they will scrub everything about you on the internet. They know every word you said. So I don't want these words to be tied to my job because that's a whole different hemisphere. So Bang23 is just something that is not my name. That's why it's named Bang23.
Family, how old of a dude are you? You got a wife, kids, what's going on?
Yeah, so I'm 32, and I have a wife, no kids, but two small dogs. What about you? You got kids?
No. No kids.
Why not?
At all. Well, I mean, if I'm being honest, I'm kind of glad I didn't. I just think I would have fucked them up. Like I'm being dead ass serious. Like, I mean, I went through a lot of stuff as a kid and everything, and I did not want to pass that along. So I think it's a good decision, in my opinion.
In what way, like, what would be the worst case scenario for you fucking up your kid that you think would be plausible given your past?
Just my depression, mental illness, trying to hang myself from a ceiling fan. You know, like all that type of stuff, you know, like,
yeah,
I mean, so many people think that they just have to have kids to have kids when they don't, they have no business having kids, in my opinion. Do you get what I'm saying by that? Like, everybody thinks that it's their duty, they have to as a person to reproduce. Why? Where does it say we got to reproduce?
Listen, I completely agree. I would rather, I know some people, I have some people in my family, they're so fucked up, they're drug addicts or whatever. Mm-hmm. I honestly think the damage they've done to this kid, they should have never had a kid. It's a terrible decision. And the kid is the victim every time.
Yeah, it's revolving. And it's just, we are giving the next generation just a little bastard son of a bitch that should not be out there. And I mean, it is just a revolving cycle, wouldn't you say, Chris?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I think a lot of the people that we see on the streets that are maybe, I don't want to say homeless, but homeless is an example, or the really crazy ones.
No, like, white trash loves to breed. Like, I mean, they do. White trash loves to breed because they're like, oh, man, condoms take away all the sensitivity. It just doesn't feel as good. I'm okay with it, and I'm just going to do it. No matter what. Now, I've been there. Luckily, I've never had any kids, but that's what white trash does. They're just like, oh, it just feels so good. Why am I going to wear a condom?
Come on, Becky. You know I could take care of that kid.
No, and
Becky,
then
let
you
me
won't.
Take this condom off.
And you won't. And you won't. You won't take care of it. The state's going to have to take care of it. And then they're going to, it's just, I just like, I've never understood that. Everybody feels like they have to reproduce. You know what? Some people just should not reproduce, Chris.
And I think to your point as well, I'm probably wrong, but I believe I heard this somewhere that the poorer you are, the more likely you are to have kids.
Yes.
Like the rich people are like, oh no, fuck them kids. But the poor people are just popping them out. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with having poor family or poor parents or nothing like that. There's really, but if you're poor, you have low integrity, are addicted to drugs, and are a prostitute and a stripper, maybe you should not have kids. Hot take.
Yeah, but Chris, though, I've been thinking about this, though, that, you know, everybody wants to think that the problems and why we're so divided is because of race. It's not. It is between the classes. It's a class type of situation because, like, let's be honest, Chris, if things all break down and society breaks down, you know what? The poor white trash are going to be the ones, or I'm just talking any trash, black trash, Mexican, just any trash at the lower end that lives off the bare necessities. We're going to be fine if things all collapse. You know what? Because the rich are going to be the ones that are going to fall first. In my opinion, like, because we've all lived on the bare minimum. Wouldn't you say that?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Listen, you may hate your neighbor. Let's say your neighbor is part of the KKK. He hates Jews. He kicks puppies, all of the above. If something crazy happens, like you said, the power grid goes out, guess who's going to be your best friend?
That neighbor. I don't know about the KKK people, but I mean, I've had some family members that have, you know, maybe partaken in that in the past, but I'm just talking about people that just have to adapt. Like, I mean, what was your childhood like, Chris? Like, I mean, were you, so you're 32, you're not a Gen Xer. I grew up as a Gen Xer. I was a Gen Xer that we were latchkey kids and I had to come home, take care of myself. I had to be responsible. I had to take care of my homework, all that good stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's really weird. Hey, so speaking of Louisiana, there's this guy on TikTok I follow over the place, and everybody talks about plates. Dude, you guys know about plates in Louisiana? Like, when you go to the convenience store that has a restaurant in it, like, you can get gizzards or red beans and rice or a pork chop or a fish or, you know, something like that. And you guys, because the guy that I follow is in Louisiana, and every small little town has that, like, convenience store that you can go get a good meal from, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Well, that is common. I guess we would call it maybe a plate lunch or whatever. And I guess I thought that's common other places. But yeah, every convenience store, they're going to have, usually they'll do like plate lunches on Sunday where you just show up, you give them $10 and you get a plate lunch. And
it's good food though. Like, and it's not healthy. It's usually fried. Lots of butter, red beans and rice, collard greens, or just something like that. And I don't think you can beat stuff like that.
No, that's what you want. And then you look in the back and you see some old black lady with an apron on and it's dirty. And, you know, she got the hairnet on and everything like that. And you know it's going to be great.
We talk about the greasy spoons. We used to call them greasy spoons back in the day growing up. And it's like, you know, oh, it's dirt. No, you know what? That's some pretty good food. I mean, I've always felt that way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And even though the plate lunch may have something you don't like, let's say you don't like red beans, you always eat it because they find a way to make it taste good. So, really common down here.
So, Chris, what are some of the topics you guys are talking about on your show?
Dude, so my show, I'm not a topical show. I talk to people who I think are interesting, period.
So it's like an interview show then?
Yeah, it's an interview. It's more conversational. I don't come in with an agenda or anything like that. I just talk to them just kind of how we are. And I just go with the flow. I've talked to teachers. I've talked to a Navy SEAL. I talked to a psychologist. I talked to most recently a guy who wrote a book on consciousness. I talked to a computer science PhD who reinvented the stock market, patent pending. I just talked to cool people who I think is cool.
I think that's great because I've talked about this. You know, like I worked in terrestrial radio broadcasting for the past 20 years and stuff, and we've interviewed all the famous people in the world, but also at the same time, I would rather talk to the average person that just has a great story because I think they're going to be more honest than the celebrities because they really don't have much to hide. Do you agree with that or not?
Oh my, 100%. And I'll go even a step further. Some of the people who I've talked to who maybe have more status, quote unquote status, for example, I talked to a doctor, and this episode was not published, by the way. Talked to a doctor who was a plastic surgeon for over 40 years, really smart guy. And I started asking him some weird questions just because I was curious. We started talking about like some conspiracy type stuff. And he told me, he said, listen, Chris, you can't publish this. It's going to hurt my reputation. But whenever I talk to the average guy who like, maybe like I talked to a prison guard in Rikers Island, an average guy. He's a prison guard in Rikers Island is his day job. This guy was so genuine. He didn't hold anything back. one of the best conversations
and
I've ever
and
had.
It is. And I've had that Fozzie, if you will, talking about back in the day. Fozzie, if you will, writes, playing tackle football and wiffle ball till dark under the street lights till your pops whistles and you have to get the giddy up sticks. LOL, good times. And it was. So, you know, I've talked about this, and you're in your 30s. I'm about to turn 43, so I'm a Gen Xer, but the Gen Xers, I don't think they realize how good they had it. We lived our high school years, middle school years. We did not have smartphones or cell phones in general where our parents could track us or call us at any time. It was just basically we did the shadiest shit all through our high school years. And as long as we weren't dumb or dying in a field or something, as long as we got back the next day, if we said we were staying at a friend's house or, you know, we were supposed to be in by a certain time that night, we never got caught. And guess what? We were okay. We were. We really, really were.
So what advice would you give a 14, 15-year-old kid today who's just like, damn, man, I just want to live, but I'm scared of social media. Nope. I'm scared of getting busted. What's your advice?
My advice is if you're one to play it smart, okay, you stay away from the technology. You stay away from social media. You want to have the least amount of a footprint as a kid, and your life would be so much stressful, in my opinion. I really, really do, because, you know, like, I knew kids bullied. I got bullied, but I wasn't at the bottom of the totem pole, but I flew right below the radar, per se, okay? But also, at the same time, I didn't have to read what people had to say about me growing up. You see what I'm saying? You stay off the social media. I would not be on social media if it wasn't for what I've done for a living and everything. It's horrible. It is. It really, really is horrible. And if you don't have a cell phone as a kid and you're not, I've never understood kids that want to beg for a cell phone, because guess what? That is just another way that your parents can just get a hold of you. Well, I mean, I know that you would like to have one as a teenage kid and everything, but if you want to play it smart, no, don't have a cell phone.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think since you're a little bit older, you're obviously very logical, very smart guy. This is the smart way to go about it. But you're a 15-year-old kid and you're in school. Everybody's like, oh, Tuttle, he doesn't have a phone. You're so dumb. What are you, poor? Mm. You don't even have an Instagram. Why don't you have an Instagram? And you're like, oh, man, even if, like, let's say you're a guy, you're like, well, man, you know, I may not want to get an Instagram because it is toxic, but maybe I want to get laid.
You want me to be honest?
That's where all the girls are.
I think the girls would be like, oh, why doesn't Tuttle have an Instagram page? What is he hiding? Is he a bad boy or something? Is he too cool to have Instagram? I'm being dead ass serious, though. If you played it the right way, you'd be like, oh, he's too cool for Twitter. He's too cool for Instagram. He's too cool for TikTok. I'm being dead ass honest. Like, no. If I look back on it now, because I would have been one of those people to jump in on it, but looking back on it now, I think the ladies would be like, oh, dude, he's different from all the other guys. He doesn't have to be on Instagram.
Oh, I like it. And then you could also play it off like this. Like, oh, Tuttle, you're so dumb. You don't have an Instagram, whatever. Say, you know what? I'm so man. I'm such a man that you want to talk to me? Come see me. You want to see a picture of me? Here, I'll pose. Take a picture of me. You want to see me with my shirt off? Talk to me after school, ladies, because I got something to show you.
Or I got so many bitches that I'm like I'm not. No, I'm being dead ass serious. I don't want them being able to keep tabs on me on social media and stuff, right? I mean, wouldn't that be like, I mean, I'd be like, oh, man, he must have all types of ladies and stuff that he doesn't want to be on social media because, I mean, let's be honest, social media has caused a lot of breakups for teenagers and people in their 20s because, ooh, who is this? who commented on your post and everything? Guess what? That's why I don't have an Instagram, because I don't want any of you lying ass bitches coming up and trying to catch me.
I love the way you think. You are phenomenal. You're right. So what would you say? So that's a good one to the guys. But like, man, to all the fellas, like, you're stupid. What are you talking about? You're going to get caught on there because little Kathy, your ex-girlfriend's going to like your post. And it's going to, so what do you tell to the girl? It says, oh, Tuttle, I mean, you're cute, but why don't you have an Instagram? I want to DM you. What you say?
I don't need that. I don't need a platform for you to come to me. Like, I mean, if you want to come to me. See, but that's the sad thing with age. Like, I've always, you know, like, they'll ask this question, okay? Would you go back to your freshman year in high school with the same knowledge, but you had to relive everything again, but you still had the same knowledge when you got older and everything? Like, seriously, because we're all just trying to figure it the fuck out. Am I right or am I wrong when we're kids?
No, you're right. I still feel the same way now in a lot of ways as I did as a freshman. I really haven't changed. My personality hasn't changed much. I've figured out how to make a little bit of money for a living. But besides that, but would you go back? Like, I say, hey, Tuttle, would you rewind the freshman year, start your life over? Would you do it with the knowledge?
It would be really, really tempting. You would have to. Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody would really pass that up, right? I mean, I don't think anybody. And do you realize how quicker you could have had other dudes that your friends smelling your fingers and stuff at a very early age as a kid? Like, if you still had the same knowledge, because you really, really, you would have been the biggest pimp in the world, because we're all just trying to figure it out, because our parents didn't want to tell us stuff. And luckily, my parents were very, very open with me. My parents did not shelter me, per se. Like, they let me watch whatever I wanted to watch, but they would watch it with me, and they would explain. You see what I'm saying? Like, my mom used to buy us, me and my friends, R-rated movie tickets. Like, you could buy PG-13 and below. That was fine. But if we wanted to go see a movie, my mom or dad was never one of those parents that, like, coddled me or sheltered me, per se. They would talk to me about stuff. And I really think a lot of her kids are just coddled too much, though.
Oh, 100%. They are. But can you blame the parents? Parents is different now. Like you said, let's say in the 70s, you just let them out. You didn't know where they were. Maybe you knew the neighbors. Mm-hmm. The neighbors kept an eye on them. But now we have all the technology. I know where little Johnny is all the time. I have him tracked. I could come home. I can smell him. I see what he's doing on his Instagram. Oh, his friends posted him at some party on Instagram. It's like, how, as a parent, how do you resist that urge to keep tabs on them and shelter them? It's got to be hard.
I really think, even though, like, compared to the generation that went and fought in World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam, and stuff, I mean, those were strong. But I really do think Generation X was, like, the last unsheltered or protected generation. I really do believe that. But we got our messed up problems. Like, seriously, like, we have our mental issues. I've got plenty of those. I think a lot of Generation X, but you also got to realize Generation X at the same time, we had our mental issues, but it still wasn't cool. You couldn't go to your parents and be like, oh, mom and dad, I'm depressed. They'd be like, what the fuck are you depressed about? I feed you. I put a roof over your head. I put shoes on your feet. I feed, you know, just all that stuff. What do you got? Yeah. Just be happy, you little son of a bitch. No, but I mean, I'm being honest, though. But now, like, the next generation, it was cool to be depressed. It was cool to have stuff. And, you know, they got treatment. We didn't get that.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I think that every generation, so my parents, and I'm guessing your parents did the same thing. my parents looked at my generation and said, wow, y'all a bunch of soft sissies. And they're probably right. They're probably right. But guess what? My parents' generation compared to the generation that went stormed the beaches of Normandy.
Oh, they were harder.
Soft sissies. So it's like whenever each generation seems to get softer, I really don't know.
Oh, we are. But I also think that's part of evolution. I think we're getting phased out. I think we're getting phased out. I believe in science. I'm a very scientific person. I love science and everything. And I wore a mask. I wore a mask out and about during the pandemic and everything. Because I took some time off to help my parents out during the pandemic and stuff. But I was wearing a mask. But in the long run, you're seeing all these kids now dealing with RSV, this like little cold virus and stuff. They're all catching the flu right now. And I really think that's because we were wearing masks for so long. I feel like we fucked up our kids' immune system a little bit, because I know when I was a kid, guess what? Went out, played in the dirt. I posted some pictures on my social media the other day when I was like 11. I was barefoot, wearing blue jeans, no shirt, playing in pig shit in the pig pen with the rest of the pigs and everything. And guess what? I didn't get sick a lot as a kid, because guess what? I was exposed to bacteria. I was exposed to viruses and everything. And I really think it hardened me up a little bit.
I agree. I think you're probably right. I think there's probably some scientific evidence to support that. But I think as we get softer and more recluse, we're more indoors, we're less into pig shit. I think the idea is that as our softness or our hardness decreases, hopefully technology and medicine increases to compensate. And I think in some areas it has, but probably not all of them.
I think technology has made us soft.
No, 100%. So that's the thing. It's like physically we're weaker, we're softer, but supposedly we're supposed to be smarter, and the brain is supposed to be what's juicing up while the body is whimpering. You know, we're all fat, out of shape, and we can't run a mile to save our life. But supposedly we're supposed to be smarter.
All Hopefully right.
That's happening.
But smarter though, like we're getting why everybody's posture is so bad, why everybody has bad back problems, because they're always on a computer typing or they're looking down at their cell phones. Do you realize that if you look, every single person now that has a smartphone has that little indentation? You see right here?
Shit. Yeah.
Because they're holding the cell phone. Look. Everybody holds, depending on what dominant hand you have, you always lay that smartphone on that little little pinky finger. Why do you think everybody's getting a little indentation now on their pinky finger?
That's fascinating.
Why do you realize that people are being born with an extra tendon in their forearms? That's because of all the pornography that is on the internet right now. Everybody is just whacking it, especially guys, whacking it as hard as they can. That's why, over evolution, why men are getting an extra tendon in their dominant hand because of pornography online. It is. You think I'm trying to make a joke, but over time...
It's so funny.
I remember when I was in school and I first got the internet. Remember, I didn't have that through high school, but I remember trying to download a 15-second pornography clip. It would take me an hour and a half on dial-up. And then if we got a phone call to the house with the dial-up, that it would cut the download off. Because you got to remember, when you wanted to get on the internet back in the day, it was that dial-up with that computer fax sound or whatever. And if your mom picked up the other line or your dad picked up the other line, oh, you got disconnected immediately.
Oh, I remember that, but I was pretty young with that. My first big internet wave was
Did you have MySpace. AOL? Did you have AOL or Instant Messenger?
Yeah, the AOL messenger, what was AIM? Yeah, I did AIM 100%. It was amazing for talking to girls.
Yeah.
AIM and MySpace.
And MySpace, do you remember how when MySpace first came out, like everybody would like spend hours on HTML coding just to get a song of a popular artist to play in the background, and then just to get, oh, it was a pain in the ass.
Oh, I remember that. My favorite MySpace feature was the top eight. Oh boy, you have your top eight
that
friends.
Caused so much fucking bullshit.
So much drama. Because you would have your top eight. And for people who don't know, that was you put your top eight best friends and you ordered them. Uh-huh. It was a row of four and then another row of four. Mm-hmm. So in theory, whoever was in position one.
Oh, it was always Tom,
friend.
Unless you got rid of him. Tom, remember Tom, you know, your creator. He was always your automatic first friend.
He was your first friend, but your top eight, like after you had like maybe 50 or 60 friends, you would order your top eight. And like number one would always be either your best friend or your girlfriend or whatever, your most important person. And number two was your second best friend and your third best friend and so on. And it was cool or whatever. So you go visit your buddy's profile and be like, oh, yeah, I'm number three. Okay. And then a week later you visit, be like, whoa, I'm number five.
I'm knocked off. Yeah, I'm knocked off.
What? Number five.
It's like the NCAA college top 25. You're like, oh man, I got knocked out of the top 25 here this week. What did I do?
It was awesome. So, okay, with all the tech, I think we agree. You make a lot of great points that, hey, we're getting soft as shit. I mean, we're beating our dick to death. We're supposedly getting smarter, but everybody's getting tech neck and all of this stuff like that. If you could go back to the year 2000 and take away the smartphone and the internet, would you?
No, I wouldn't. Because here, I'll tell you this, okay? Everything is in moderation. And, you know, how my older generation would say, oh, computers and smartphones, it's going to be the end of society. And I'm like, no, it's not. Because guess what? There is no excuse anymore for anybody to say, I don't know how to do something. I don't know the answer to something. I don't know what something plus something divided by something is, you know, off the top of my head. This little thing right here can be the greatest tool in the world because I don't take anybody saying, oh, I don't know. Hey, what's the weather today? What's the temperature? What is this? What is that? No. You have unlimited amount of information at your fingertips.
That is, I think, brilliantly put. And I think that is the best counter argument possible. There's so much information on the internet. It's also made someone, let's say, you're in the 80s and you're poor. You say, man, I can't go to Harvard. I can't go to Yale. I can't afford to go there. My grades aren't good enough, yada, yada. I can't compete with these people. Well, guess what? Now you can. Because everything that's learned there is on the internet.
Chris, I hated school when I was going to school. I've learned more after I got out of college from the internet, from the smartphones, but also it's also a double-edged sword because a lot of people do not try to do their own due diligence because they believe anything that they see on the internet. You know, like I hear so many people, oh, I read this news story. It was on Facebook and, you know, Trump's going to take over the whole United States. And I'm like, okay, where'd you read that? Oh, I read it on Facebook. I said, did you, try to cross-reference it with any of the... And don't get me wrong, all the national news in general is biased, but for people that make decisions on their life off of stories that they get off of social media or the internet in general without doing their own research, I think that's the biggest problem that we have in the world, in my opinion.
I think that is a really good point because now the onus is on the person, right? Because it's so easy to research, but now it's also so hard to research because there's so much bullshit out there. There's so much, just take something, an example, COVID, great example. There, you could find conflicting scientific opinions on everything from masks to vaccines, to vitamin C, vitamin D. You could find legit scientific papers.
You just nailed two out of the three vitamin regimens. I do Vitamin D, vitamin C. I do also zinc on a daily basis.
These are great. I just do a multi. But that's just an example of whenever something becomes so polarizing that you, in the pandemic, and I'm sure still now, you can find legitimate scientific papers, evidence that, for example, vitamin D will cure COVID. And another one that says vitamin D is terrible for COVID. In fact, don't take it. And so it's like you do your due diligence, but if you do too much, you just become confused. Kind of how people are now with diets. Nobody knows how to diet anymore because there's so much.
Oh, there's so many fad diets.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to be honest? I, you know what? From everything I've read, the cavemen seemed pretty rugged back in the day. Like, they seemed pretty rugged. Yeah. They seem like they could take care of themselves. They probably got sick and everything, but it's all the processed foods. That, I mean, if you want to just be like smart about the whole thing, stop eating all the bullshit that is prepackaged and stuff and just naturally eat. But maybe that's why I think that way, because I grew up, I was in the FFA. I raised a pig. We raised our own food and everything growing up. So I don't know. Maybe that's why I've always been able to get that. Just stop eating the processed bullshit and you'll be fine.
I think that's a good point too. And a lot of the processed bullshit, it's like, huh, okay, I got whatever, a apple, or let's say an apple pie from the store. And you look at it, it's like, this apple pie
was made 2 years ago.
Yeah, it doesn't expire for another 2 years. It's like, wow, this is wonderful. Mm. No. How the fuck do they do that? How do they do that? What are they putting in there? This can't be good, bro. No. This is not natural.
No. It just can't be. Well, hey, Chris, did you enjoy that? I always like asking the guests, did you enjoy this conversation, this interview per se?
Of course. You do a great job.
Well, Chris, I mean, I'm not trying to invite myself, but if you ever want me to come on your show and chop it up a little bit, I would love to. Yes. Because I like what you're doing and stuff. I think that if you keep doing and being consistent and everything, I really think you might blow up there, man.
Well, two things. First of all, thank you so much. That genuinely flatters me. I'm going to immediately stop this. I'm going to go tell my wife. Oh boy, let me tell you what Tuttle said. So thank you very much.
What's your wife looking like? How'd you meet your wife?
She's about a 32C up top.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Was she, you know, down low?
High school sweethearts or no?
No. Actually, I met her at my apartment. Her and her friend came to my apartment for a Bible study. And that's how I met. She asked me for my number.
Wait. So, man, I got to have you again on this. So, you big religious dude?
No, not so much anymore. Not so much anymore. I'm not against it or anything like that.
What changed your mind?
I don't think anything really changed my mind. I think I was so dedicated at one point.
Was it because you were indoctrinated into it? You think by your family?
I was raised in church, 100% with church, 3 times a week. All my friends were church, everything. It was just, I kind of started, I guess you'd call sinning, you know, drinking alcohol, cussing, doing bad things. And
Jesus hung out with prostitutes. Jesus turned water into wine. I don't judge people that are religious and everything. I respect them and everything. It's just not my thing.
Yeah, I don't either. And like I said, I think it's good. I kind of wish that religion was bigger still, because I believe a lot of people have now replaced religion with other things that are worse, such as like politics, cults, stuff like that, because they want to feel a part of something. Whereas if you're religious, what are you doing? You're going into the church and you're praying 3 times a day And essentially, the rule of law that you get indoctrinated into is to treat others how you want to be treated.
But
that's not so bad.
Nah, I mean, somebody just asked, can you reset, Tuttle, who your guest is, please? Tuttle, I just joined late. Chris from Bang23 Podcast is joining me right now. At the end of the interview, which I do need to wrap up soon, but I want to get on this. What turns me off about religion is all the money they make, the money, because religion has become money. And then the molestation that happens in some of the churches, like, I get completely turned off by that. And I know that I should not label, but I think that churches need to be taxed, because during the pandemic, a lot of them got bailouts from our government. You see what I'm saying? So they're not paying taxes, but they're willing to take taxpayer money to help them out during that. That is what turns me off the most about religion.
That is disgusting, 100%. And those big mega churches, Joel Osteen,
Copeland,
all of these people, that is disgusting. That is not anything I would ever want to be part of, even whenever I was going to church three times a week. That's disgusting. The molestation and stuff is disgusting, too. I think we shouldn't label a whole group of people by the worst aspect of it. And I know you agree as well. That's not how they all are, but it is 100% fucking disgusting that it happens in church. And those people, I think, should be punished. Even they should be punished by the church. You know, let's just go back to the Bible. Let's just stone them. I mean, it's disgusting. Don't you? That's so nasty. You would ever want to touch a kid or take from people who are poor and can't afford it while you're flying in a damn jet.
Or wearing $1,000 suits, driving around in Mercedes-Benz or BMW 5 Series, stuff like that. Well, Chris, I really, really enjoyed this conversation. Hopefully you did as well. Before I let you go, let my audience know how they can check out your show.
I have one question for you before that. So you said that you think I may blow up one day. Do you tell that to all your guests?
No. I like how you are laid back. I think you can only get better. I'm not trying to critique you or whatever, but more you do it, like, I'll admit, like, this podcast has made me a better broadcaster, in my opinion. Because I don't have to obey a certain type of rule. I don't have to constantly be filling airtime. I can get on. I can just be myself. I can have a conversation with somebody in long form. And I don't have to worry about going to break. Because we've been talking for over 30 minutes, and like, there's no way we could have done that on regular radio.
Great point. To wrap it up, and I'm sorry for dragging it out. Bang23 is the podcast that I host. Just Google Bang23 podcast, find us on Instagram, whatever. Or don't. That's fine. Just be happy. Tuttle, thank you so much for coming on. You are fantastic, dude. I hope you get some good sleep tonight.
All right. Hey, Chris, email me, Tuttle, T-U-D-D-L-E @gmail.com. Send me your contact info. I'd love to chat sometime, okay?
Gotcha.
All right, man. Have a wonderful night, okay?
You too. See ya.
All right, man. All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed tonight's show. Hopefully, you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.